Welcome to this week's episode of the North Bible Church podcast. Now, let's join our pastor as we open God's Word together.
Thanks, Wes. Happy New Year, first Sunday of 2026. Can you believe it? Hope you guys all had awesome holidays. How many of you traveled? How many of you left town and went and saw family and friends? Still recovering from that. How many of you just hunkered down, laid low, chilled, lots of family time maybe? Man, so good to be back together again. Hey, imagine with me two people. Both say, I want to get healthier this year. And so person number one goes out, buys a bunch of new gym clothes. They sign up for a gym membership, or they go and buy a bunch of gym equipment and set up a home gym. And then they put together a meal plan. Okay, I got to start eating healthier. I got to cut some stuff out, add some stuff to the mix, and they come up with a game plan. And then what happens is they either start and then fizzle out really quickly, or they actually never start. They've got the new clothes, they've got the new membership, they've got the new equipment, they've got the new plan, but they never carry out the plan. They're super motivated. They're all hyped up, but then they actually never go after it. Person number two, on the other hand, they kind of rummage through their drawers, and they find a couple old workout outfits. Maybe they go buy a couple things. You know, they need to expand their wardrobe a little bit because they've expanded, And they decide they're going to go and do the gym membership, and they don't do anything sensational, nothing fancy, nothing dramatic, but they start to make incremental changes a little bit at a time. They just start eating a little healthier every day, just cutting out some stuff and, adding some good things into the mix and cutting out some bad things. They're not like spending hours in their gym. They're walking now each day. They're throwing in some other strength exercises, but they're consistent. Nothing flashy, nothing crazy fancy, but they just stick with it and they continue. At the end of the year, who's going to be healthier? Person one or person two? Who's going to be stronger? Person one or person two, right? We all clearly know the answer is person number two. It's the one who starts something, and it doesn't have to be big or dramatic, but they just stick with it and they're consistent. Our lives will experience growth and transformation if we live out daily, regular adjustments over time, rather than attempting dramatic, mega intentions or efforts that are short-lived. Discipline eats motivation for breakfast. It's having the discipline to carry out even small changes instead of just going after motivated big changes. We can't rely on hype. We have to rely on habits when we want to make a change in our life. Because what we do daily shapes us more than what we do occasionally. I just want to say that again. What we do daily shapes us more than what we do occasionally. And so we see a lot of people, we're some of those people at times with good intentions. We're all motivated in January when it comes to growth and change, new year, new you, right? Whatever that looks like. But it's the people who take on and carry out new, helpful, and healthy habits that eventually experience change. That same principle is true for our soul care, for spiritual growth. If you want to know God more, if you want to experience more intimacy and connection with God, if you want to see growth in your life spiritually, you want to see more of God's power at work in your life, you want to experience true spiritual growth and transformation, you want to tap into that true life that Jesus has for you when you start to follow him, you can't rely on hype. You can't just go buy the new Bible and decide you're going to, start signing up for this, that, and this, and that, and this, and that, and then not follow through. You can't rely on the hype. You've got to rely on what? Habits. And so we have to come to this place of recognizing the power of habits. Here at North, we believe there are 9 traits or characteristics that we will see grow and lived out in us as we become followers of Jesus. We call them the true life traits. One of those true life traits is called the nourished life. It's a nourished soul. Now, when we say soul, let's make sure we define our terms, okay? When we talk about our soul, we're talking about the immaterial and eternal part of our inner being as a person. Our souls are our deepest, innermost self, who we are at the core. It's the integration of mind and emotions and will and spirit. In the Bible, this word soul in the Greek is the word psyche or psuche. That's where we get the word psychology. And so our souls drive our sense of value. Our souls drive our sense of purpose. Our souls drive our emotional state. Our souls drive our relationships and our ability and capacity to connect with God and to walk with God faithfully. So you can see why it would be important for us to take care of our souls, to have healthy souls, well-nourished souls. And so the reason some of us are weak spiritually, the reason many of us are underdeveloped or immature spiritually is because we're spiritually inactive. You know, we got onto all the hype, but we didn't follow through. Or we're spiritually active. Maybe we're spiritually busy, but we're still actually undernourished. You can eat a lot of food. That doesn't mean you're healthy, right? What kind of food are you eating? When are you eating it? What are you doing after you eat it? And so you can actually be a busy follower of Christ and not grow. You can actually be busy doing church things and not grow. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to your personal habits that are going to make the biggest difference. And so because we don't want to be undernourished or underdeveloped spiritually, we're going to spend the next 2 months in this new teaching series we're kicking off today on the spiritual disciplines so that we can grow spiritually and be equipped to engage in holy habits that God uses to shape us and grow us. In the book Practicing the Way, a pastor and author named John Mark Comer says this. He says, "Show me a person's habits, and I will show you what they are truly most passionate about, most dedicated to, most willing to suffer for, and most in love with. And I will show you who they will become." It's a great quote to call us back to the power of habits. And so it's been said that we are the sum of our habits. Well, let's make sure that we have good habits. If we dedicate ourselves to be like person two, making spiritual disciplines a daily or pretty regular habit, then we will experience more well-nourished souls leading to more fulfilled and purposeful lives as God wants us to live. So with that, I just want to set the tone here. Let's pause. And I want to just lead us in a prayer, but I want to give you a moment to pray as well and come to God and say, "Lord, prepare me for what I'm about to hear, and not just information for the mind, but also inspiration and transformation for my life." And so I invite you to pray with me as we come before God. Father, we come to you right now. Lord, in your word, you say, "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." God, we are so thankful that you can satisfy the deepest longings of our lives and hearts. You made us. You created us. You are the ultimate sustenance and satisfaction for our very lives, for our very souls. God, you fill us with good things. We're so sorry that we chase after other pursuits that don't truly satisfy. So God, just listen to the prayers of our hearts for a second here as we just come before you and say, "God, help me. God, help me pay attention." Would you just say a prayer right now, just between you and God, of what you would like to see him do in the next 30 or minutes or so in your life? Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to respond to what you impress on our hearts. In Jesus' name. We all said. All right, knowing what God wants us to know as we follow Christ is not enough to lead to true growth and change. We have to also do what God calls us to do. We need to see our faith become action. And that is part of what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to a group of fellow Christians that he greatly cared about. If you're not familiar with the Apostle Paul, this is a man who actually was a devout Jewish man in the first century. He dedicated his life to being a zealous follower of God. And so when Jesus came and lived that perfect life, when Jesus died on the cross as a substitute for our sins, when Jesus was buried and after Jesus rose from the grave and appeared to his followers and then ascended to heaven, the Christian community took off and the influence of the gospel of Jesus exploded on the scene, and the Apostle Paul felt like it was his duty to squash it. He saw Jesus as a rebel that died. He saw him as a martyr that did not speak truth. And so everyone who was a follower of Jesus was a threat to the one true God. That was his mindset. And so he dedicated his life to stomp out Christianity in the earliest stages. The problem was he was up against a force. He was above his pay grade. And so he encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ. And Jesus transformed his life. And then he became one of the greatest followers of Jesus, one of the greatest missionaries of Jesus in the first century, and wrote much of the New Testament of the Bible. And although you see a loving tone and deep care for all the churches that God used him to plant and all the believers that he interacted with and all the letters that he wrote to Christians, there was one group that was unique, and it was the Christians in the ancient city of Philippi. Philippi is in northern Greece. Paul planted that church during his second missionary journey, and as you read through the book of Philippians, you pick up on a distinctly caring, adoring tone that he has with the Philippians, extra compared to some of the tones he had with other believers. And he writes as a father, a spiritual father to his beloved children. And so when he was speaking to them, there was this unique closeness and intimacy that he had because he shared joys with those believers that he didn't share with others. He shared in some trials and suffering and sacrifice and gospel partnership at deeper levels than some of the other early churches. And what I want to look at is, you know, whenever we come together, sometimes we'll read through a chapter of the Bible, multiple verses of the Bible. What I want to give you today for our time is one verse. We'll bring in a couple other support verses, but I want to emphasize one verse. If all you do is get this verse, lock it in, memorize it, understand it, and try to go live it, your ability to follow Christ will change in just this one verse. I mean, that's true with much of God's word, right? But I want to take you to the book of Philippians. You can open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. So whether you have a physical Bible or a digital Bible, I encourage you to open up to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, and either underline, highlight, do something to maybe make this stand out moving forward. And obviously, this is part of a much bigger communication, but here's one phrase, one sentence that the Apostle Paul shares to his Christian brothers and sisters in Philippi that I wanted to bring before you today because I think it's so profound. And he says this, Philippians 4, 9, he says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," what's the next word? Practice. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to read that again. Paul says to his brothers and sisters in Philippi, "What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." What he's saying is, my dear friends, my family in the faith, my co-workers in the gospel of Jesus, the God of peace will be with you. This peace you long for, this connection with God that you want to have and sustain, it's going to be with you in a very real way if you take that which I taught you, that which you heard from my mouth, that which you saw in my life, that which you read that I wrote, the things that I instructed you to do, if you put them into action, if you put them into practice, this God that you so want to be connected with will give you peace and closeness. And he says here, practice these things. What things? Whenever we see phrases in the Bible, it should kind of activate these other questions. Paul says, practice these things. Well, what things is he talking about? The things he taught, the things he shared, the things he modeled. When you look at the life and teachings and the lifestyle of the Apostle Paul, here's some of what you will see. If we were just like do an overview of his life, you will see that Paul was a prolific prayer warrior. Many times in scriptures, he's talking about how he's praying for believers and how they can be praying for him. And so he was a prolific prayer warrior. He fasted. He deprived himself of food so that his physical hunger would be at bay so that he could activate and experience a deeper spiritual hunger. He swapped out food for a hunger for God in his life. And so he fasted. He memorized God's word. He was so familiar with God's word that it started, you know, we get into God's word, but then we want God's word to get into us. And so whether it was the Old Testament scrolls, whether it was the words of Jesus, he memorized it. And whether he taught from the ancient scrolls or whether he just spoke off the cuff, God's word flowed out from him because he knew scripture. He deeply studied God's word. He could teach it from memory. We also see Paul withdraw from ministry to be alone with the Lord. Like, he heard about Jesus and how Jesus did this. Paul was a busy guy. Like, some of us want to flaunt our business like, oh man, I'm so busy. I'd like to see us put our itineraries up against Apostle Paul's. The guy that traveled all over Asia Minor and Europe, and guy that, you know, lived through shipwrecks and persecution, was in jail, and he carried this burden of the church on top of the physical demands of his life. He was a scholar, he was a teacher, he was a preacher, he was a missionary. Yet, he knew the value of taking dedicated time to pull away from the demands and to create margin and space to be alone with God. You see this in Paul's life and teaching. You see also that Paul was deeply committed to community and relationships. As you read through the New Testament, look at how sometimes he opens and closes the letters and what he says in between. He knows people by name. He knows where they lived. He stayed in their homes. He's ate at their tables. He talks about his feelings and sometimes the pain that was done to him by specific people. Paul was committed to relationships. When you think about the Apostle Paul, you don't get this image of a rogue missionary by himself traveling all over the world. Always typically had someone with him. He was pouring into others. He loved people. He was a man of relationships. We also see him live out self-denial. We see him serving others. We see him expressing generosity. We see him give up worship and praise. Paul had daily disciplines, daily habits, if you will, that deeply nourished his soul and helped him live powerfully and effectively for the Lord. And that kind of consistency and growth and spiritual character and faithful practice of Paul led him to say this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, as he's speaking to the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." That's a pretty bold statement. Imitate me. He wasn't being arrogant. He's basically feeling humbly confident that the way he was living his life was worth imitating because he was trying to imitate Christ and he was trying to do his best as a flawed, human, sinful man to live it out, which means he had good days and bad days. We see him talk about, man, I do what I don't want to do, what I should do, I don't do. Like, he knows the wrestle. He knows what it's like to fail. He knows what it's like to depend on God. And yet at the end of the day, he goes, look, I think when you put it together, if you imitate me, you'll be okay because I'm trying to imitate Jesus. What would happen in the lives of people if they imitated your faith? If you're a parent or a grandparent and your kids or grandkids took all of the last year, 2025, and said, I'm going to imitate my mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa's faith, what would it look like? Now, you know, little rude awakening here. They are going to imitate it, by the way. Right, they're going to learn a lot by what you do, not just by what you say. We know that. Sometimes that brings deep conviction in our lives, like, ugh, I could do better, right? And so can we repeat what Paul said in the lives of others? And so as we look at this Philippians 4:9, in the same way, in the same tone, in the same spirit, with the same instruction, I think God puts forth these same words to us. Looking back at Philippians 4:9, it's like God saying to us, because even though we're not the original audience, it was written to them, but it was still for us. God says, what you've learned and received and seen in God's word from God's people, practice these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, to grow, to experience transformation, to experience true life, we must take seriously this call to practice the faith. Our soul care, our spiritual growth is not just about teaching. We need the teaching of God's word, but we also need the training. How are we training and being trained to live like a follower of Christ? I'm just here to say, the Western American church has failed discipleship to the point that sometimes we think you've been discipled if you've logged hundreds of hours in a room talking about God and reading the scriptures alone. That is a foundation. The teaching of God's word is essential to our soul care. But a lot of us stop there and we never go and put it into practice. I mean, that's just ridiculous saying, like, hey, I've never driven a car. I'm going to learn how to drive. And so you sit in a room with people for hundreds of hours talking about driving, reading books about driving, watching YouTube videos about driving, and then someone says, here's a set of keys, go have fun. Yeah, you're going to be calling like a tow truck pretty quick, right? Because you've never practiced. You've got to practice driving. Our youngest right now is learning to drive. And so we're having a lot of fun trying to practice driving. And there's all those little nuances. There's all those little, like, crazy people on the road, right? Trying to learn how to react to, like, you know, playing a human game of Frogger, if you remember that game when you were, you know, young. Trying to learn how to drive. You've got to practice the faith. How are you practicing the faith? Well, that's where the spiritual disciplines and those holy habits come online. You've got to train as a follower of Jesus. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait, hold on here. Isn't our faith in Jesus about grace, not works, not doing? Yes, absolutely. Salvation for sure. But what about sanctification? What about growth? Christian philosopher and author and professor Dallas Willard said this in his book, The Great Omission. He said, grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. So when we study how we can be made right with God, when we study what it means to be saved, if you will, when we study what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we recognize God's gracious gift of his Son, that we in and of ourselves have no ability, zero, to be made right with God by good works. But once we become a follower of Christ, good works flow from us. God made us for good works to live out the faith. And so, yeah, we don't earn salvation, but we still have to make effort to grow. We still have to exert ourselves to grow in being the person God's making us. Pop quiz, the word that Jesus uses to stay connected to him is what? Any guesses? I heard it. Who said it? Starts with an A. Abide, right? Abide. If you look at John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. When you study that text of staying connected to Christ, of abiding in Christ, the Greek word there, abide, is the word meno. It means to remain in or to dwell in. Well, how often do we need to abide or dwell in Christ? Once a week? Once a month? Right? We need to abide in Christ daily. Not just a few times a month. Like, our spiritual approach, if we're going to talk about dwelling with Christ, it's not an Airbnb or like a vacation home mindset. We just do it sometimes. We do it occasionally. We want to dwell daily with Christ. How do you do that? You make it a habit. How can you make it a habit? Exercise spiritual disciplines to do that. We're called to follow Jesus every day. John Mark Comer again says something fascinating in his book, Practicing the Way. He says, much preaching of the gospel today does not call people to a life of discipleship, but that following Jesus is seen as optional, as post-conversion second track for those who want to go further. Tragically, this has created a two-tier church where a large swath of people who believe in God and even regularly attend church have not re-architected their daily lives on the foundation of apprenticeship to Jesus. There's a different mindset, and that's what I love about this book. It's one of our recommended readings, Practice the Way. If you're looking for something to undergird what we're talking about the next couple months, it's one of the three recommended reads that we have. We look at that and go, when we say we're going to follow Jesus, we're not just checking a box, I prayed a prayer. We're not just ascribing to a list of specific beliefs. We're actually apprenticing under Jesus, which means we want to live like he lived. We want to say what he said. We want to do what he did. We want to be like Christ. We want to get like where Paul got and saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, how do you imitate Christ? You apprentice under him. And so if we dwell in Christ, holy habits and spiritual disciplines will flow from us naturally and consistently. And if we're struggling to follow Christ, then those holy habits, those spiritual disciplines will call us into a closer relationship with the Lord more essentially and consistently. Then we'll experience that new life and true life as God wants us to experience. But we have to daily commit to following Jesus, not occasionally follow Jesus. We repeatedly see God calling us to turning our faith into actions, to let what we say we believe, to say what we learn in God's word, convert to actual practice to do. Here's a few of those verses, James 1. Some of you know this one. Verses 22 to 24, it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's pretty strong language. That if all you do is listen to the Bible, you're actually deceiving yourselves until you become a doer of the Bible. So you can read, love your enemies, but which enemy are you actively loving right now? Right? You can read, you gotta forgive those who trespass against you. Who have you forgiven or who are you forgiving right now that's deeply wounded you? See the difference? We have to become doers of the word. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Great, read that. How are you actively loving? How are others feeling loved by you? Just as if Christ was loving on them. The doing. And so we have to convert the reading to the action, because if we're not, look at verse 23. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. We all know what that's like, to look at an image, a mirror, right? And then leave, and it's like, oh, wait, did I put this on? Did I take this off? You know, is there this, whatever. You quickly forget what you were looking at. But practice takes that away spiritually. And you start to apply what you were reading and being taught. You know, there was a study done years ago. I can't remember which school did it. But they basically looked at communication. They said, typically, we remember about 20% of what we hear, about 30% of what we see, about 50% of what we see and hear together, and about 70 to 80% of what we, any guesses? Do. Actually participate in. That's why apprenticing is so important. That's why if you have a job or a company, you don't want some person just to like learn through a book and then come in and just do the job. You want to put them under someone that they can learn the systems, the procedures, how to execute what the books didn't tell you, because you want to apprentice into that role. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to become doers of the word by apprenticing under Christ. How? Developing holy habits, exercising spiritual disciplines. Last week, we heard a great message from Daniel Comstock, and he talked about spiritual fitness. He took us to a couple key verses, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, which says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, but rather train yourself, right? Train yourself for godliness. Bodily training has some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We don't fully understand God's heart and God's intentions when we think that becoming a follower of Christ is all about securing our reservation in heaven. That the only reason we become followers of Christ is just to escape the flames of hell. Yes, that's a significant reason. We definitely don't want to spend eternity in hell. But that's not the only reason God wants us to follow him. There is a kind of life. There is a kind of a relationship with him he wants us to experience. And so training ourselves for godliness is good for now, not just for eternity. It's for our relationships now. It's for the way we experience life now, not just for eternity. In 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul is telling this young man that he's mentoring, Timothy, he says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. How can people see progress in your life if it's only information you read? How can people tell if you're growing if all you do is just sit and learn and don't activate anything into action? So the only way people can see progress in their life is it's translating to practices, to action, to doing. And they come together. And so this is so important, what we're talking about here. Repeating Daniel from last week's spiritual fitness message, he said a couple things that really stuck. He said, a spiritually healthy lifestyle will not happen by accident. He also said, you get good at what you practice. So when you think about your relationship with Jesus right now, what are you practicing? As you think about the way you spend the 24 hours that God gives you each day, if someone were to just shadow you for a week or two, and then afterwards, answer the question, what does this person practice most? What would they say? They would say, this person obviously cares very much about this. This is what they're about. This is what they practice. This is what they spend their time doing. This is what they invest their money in. This is what comes out of their mouth. This is what they feed themselves with through their media. All of that is tied to practice. And so we come back to this understanding of spiritual disciplines. They're not flashy. They're not dramatic, but they're necessary. Spiritual disciplines or holy habits quietly and steadily train our hearts to recognize God's voice, to trust His presence, to live in His power. And so there's a pretty long list of what we would call biblical spiritual practices. We're not going to hit them all, but we're going to hit some of the most common ones over the next 2 months. We're going to talk about scripture intake. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about fasting. Some of you are going to be like, I think I'll miss that one. No, don't miss that one. Be here. Some of you, we're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about Sabbath and rest. We're going to talk about serving and generosity. We're going to talk about community. You know, we just wrapped up a couple months ago a great study through this material called Rooted. Rooted had what they called the rhythms. And those rhythms, which basically are spiritual disciplines, were daily devotion, prayer, repentance, sacrificial generosity, serving the community, sharing your story, worship. Like, you're starting to pick up on some of those holy habits that God uses to shape us so that we can have a greater connection with Him, so that we can be more effective to live for His glory and make a difference in this world. There's a lot of people living their lives making a difference in this world, but not all of those differences are going to go on to eternity, to actually impact people's eternity. And so we want holy habits to call us to that. Dallas Willard again said, "The first and most basic thing we can do and must do is to keep God before our minds. This is the fundamental secret of caring for our souls. Soon our minds will return to God as the needle of a compass constantly returns to the north," which is very specific language that we care about here at North Bible Church. We believe that a relationship with Jesus is the true north to help us take the direction God wants us to go and to grow. And so we have to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. How do you do that? Daily habits, daily disciplines. And so we have to be intentional. We can't be about hype. We have to be about habits, because what we do daily shapes us more than what we do occasionally. It's foolishness to think I can show up to a worship gathering once or twice a month and it's going to change my life. That's foolishness. How are we daily following Jesus? And so we have to come back to that call. All right, I'm just going to invite you into just a moment of personal reflection and application right now. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. There's a couple questions I want you to think about for a second. And don't just gloss over these. The first one is this. What did the Holy Spirit of God point out to you today? I threw some verses your way. Philippians 4:9 is one that I'm saying, really let that be pronounced. Like, go back and reread that. Maybe pray that to God. Turn that into a prayer. Turn that into a template for how you want to shape the days to come. But what did the Holy Spirit of God point out to you during this time? Secondly, what do you need to do in light of what you heard today? That's great that God points something out, but this is where it's like we can look in a mirror, we can leave this building and forget because we're just on to the next thing. What does God want you to do because of what we talked about today? So here's some next steps. For some of you, maybe you need to become a follower of Christ. You're on a spiritual journey. You're curious about God. You're curious about the Bible. You're curious about Jesus. Maybe you're not ready to surrender your life to become a follower of Jesus yet, but you want to take next steps. That's why we're here as a church. Man, we would love to sit with you, and whether it's over coffee or however that looks, and just talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, why we follow Jesus. Explain God's love for you. Explain what sin is. Explain how Jesus died for our sin on the cross. To explain how the cross is the greatest symbol of love humanity will ever know. And if you are there, then you simply just tell God you need to follow Him. You say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus lived, died, rose, and that I need Him. And I commit my life to following Jesus. And if you say that to God, then please share that with us so we can come alongside and celebrate with you. And then also help you take your next steps to grow. You can go to your instant access page, and right there under the I'm new check that you're following Christ, or grab one of us personally afterwards, or maybe the Christian friend who brought you, or that Christian friend or family member who's praying that you will experience God's love through Christ. let them know I want to follow Jesus. Take that next step. For those of you who know Christ, I guess my challenge for you is, what are you going to do to move from what do I need to do, his intentions, to what will I do? There's this tension in the room, like if you're in a huddle or a life group and you study something, and at the end of the day, at the end of that time, you say, like, you know, what did God point out? You know, what do you think you need to do? Some people are like, oh, I need to read the Bible more. Well, I need to pray more. Once you say, I will, that's a whole nother level of tension, right? I will read the Bible more. I will pray more. I will forgive that person who's hurt me. I will start to be generous with the resources God's given, whatever it looks like. You add I will to it, and it changes everything. And so let me just share personally with you, as I've obviously been thinking about this for a while, knowing that I was going to share with you today, here's some adjustments I'm making in my life, some I wills that I'm doing. I will increase my scripture memory. Man, I used to have so many scriptures in my memory databanks. I don't know if it was age or just distraction, but I'm like, where do they all go? It's like a little colander, man. You put the water in, it's like the holes. It's like all the scriptures, you know, the kind of, I just want to come back to, I want to memorize scriptures. So we have a Bible reading plan. So what I will be doing is each week, I'm going to pick one verse from the Bible reading plan and memorize it. So by the end of the year, that's 52. Holy smokes, I hope my brain keeps up, right? That's one thing I'm going to do. Also, I will, when I leave the gym, a lot of times I'm early in the morning in the gym, I drive home, I fill it with noise, music, podcast, something. I've been shutting it off. Just 5 minutes of silence. It's amazing. Do you know where your mind typically goes when you have 5 minutes of silence? Guess where it goes? It often goes to God. Somebody's like, it goes to my to-do list. Yes, that too. But sometimes that will, I find the to-do list goes away, and all of a sudden, I'm thanking God, talking to God, crying out to God. So I will be putting 5 minutes of silence at least on the drive back. And the other thing I'm choosing to do moving forward is I want to put like every hour or two, stop for about 5 minutes and just pray. Because by the end of the day, that can add up quite a bit. Sometimes you feel the pressure. I've got to sit for like 45 minutes and pray. That's a good thing too, by the way. But sometimes it's just those 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes throughout the day that add up. Just pause, stop, talk to God. I'll be doing that too. That's what God's put on my heart as I've studied this. Well, what about you? Here's three questions that might help you as you're thinking about what you're going to do. I will start practicing something. Daily discipline, holy habit. What do you need to start doing? The second question is just as helpful. What do you need to stop doing? Some of you are like, I got to stop doom scrolling, right? I got to take this out of my life to make room for this other practice that's more important. So what will you stop doing? And here's the very important question. And here's how I believe that will make a difference. Whatever you're thinking about starting doing, how's that going to make a difference in your life? If you stop doing it, how's that going to make a difference? Because if you know the why behind the what, it helps you. And so just be thinking through that. A couple resources that I want to make sure you're aware of as we step into the next 2 months. We did start a brand new Bible reading plan. If you're not reading the Bible, through all our digital communications, through the instant access page, go scan the instant access page. It's right there. There's a button that says 2026 Bible reading plan. It's through the Bible in a year. There's a couple hard copies. If you go to the growth resource area over across the lobby, there's a couple sample pages of the first several days and where to find that Bible plan. We want you in Scripture. So make sure you're in a Bible reading plan. If you don't have one, grab that one. We've got three recommended reads. You can find them on that resource wall, Practicing the Way, a couple others, Habits of Grace. Maybe add those reads to your growth as a supplement. I've been reading through those. I've been enjoying them. And also recommended practice. Are you spending time with the Lord? What's your prayer life like? Do you have silence and solitude? Are you creating margin in your life? What are some of the practices you need to implement? So let's pray. I'm going to give you some time to just talk to God, and then we're going to celebrate through music here in a minute, and I'm going to come back up and have us go do something next. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. You truly satisfy the longing soul. The hungry soul, you truly fill with good things, and we're so grateful. God, you see this group right here of people. We're all broken. We're all needy. We're all longing. We're all hungry. We need nourished souls. We need intimacy with you. God, we all need to modify our daily habits to learn and to live the way you want us to. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Scripture's models and how to practice the faith. Father, help us to do that. Just take a minute and just make that a personal prayer between you and the Lord. What is it that you need God to help you with? Maybe to stop doing, to start doing. Whatever he spoke to your heart today, would you just pray it back to him and ask for his help? It's our hope that you absolutely enjoy growing. So whatever holy habits you have to bring online, whatever disciplines you're ready to step into, then enjoy the journey of growth. It's going to get hard. It's going to be challenging, but it's worth it. And so commit to the next 2 months. Learn these spiritual disciplines. Learn these holy habits. Go to the resource area. Follow up. Let us know how we can help you. Again, if you're newer to North, whether this is a spontaneous decision or whether you've been planning it, we've got a little lunch for you just around the corner. Myself, my wife, a couple others just want to hang out for about 30, 40 minutes, tell you about North, answer any questions you have, and spend some time with you. So please join us. Blessed be you. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. North Bible Church is located in Scottsdale, Arizona, and exists to welcome all people into true life by following Jesus every day.